You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
So I have been kind of bummed out lately because I don't have FX. I do not have FX because I just don't have FX. But I am also I'm a huge fan of Pose. Pose is one of my favorite shows. I'm not a TV watcher at all. I'm a feature film watcher. I don't have the attention span to stick with like characters for season after season, but I love Pose, and I've been so bummed out because Pose is only on FX, and because Netflix signed that deal with the devil, aka Ryan Murphy. But I was really, really thankful that I got to see this pretty stunning and amazingly subtle and beautiful film called Port Authority, which didn't give me quite the Pose fix that I needed, but man, it was still a very enriching experience as sort of an insight into that world. My name is Frank, by the way, and joining me I have got Santi.
Hey everybody.
I used to know him all the time, but now he's a stranger to me, Alan.
Hello. Back for first time in a long time.
Yeah, the last time you did one of these, the last time you did one of these with me, it was The War with Grandpa, that Robert De Niro gem.
That's probably why.
I forgot.
I was like, I need a break.
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing. That was a number one thing. That's how dire the box office was in peak COVID. Anyway, and that lovely voice you heard is our token trans Jordan.
Hello. Yeah, so I was the token lesbian for a review. Now I'm token trans.
You were a token lesbian. What review were you the token lesbian for? I forgot because I was on that review.
That
or you did
Kate Winslet. Cersei.
Oh, Ammonite.
Yeah, Ammonite. I couldn't remember the fucking name, but yeah, Ammonite.
Yeah,
I never saw that one.
Well, period.
If you had a nap, you've experienced Ammonite.
My porn. So
I can get that from her. I'm loving her in Mare of Easttown right now.
Oh my god, I'm all about Mare of Easttown. Oh my god, yes, I'm all about Mare of Easttown. Oh man, yeah, I saw.
You just said you don't watch TV.
Well, I'm on that review.
It's not
so
TV.
Oh, gotcha.
It's HBO.
I retweeted something recently that said a picture of Kate Winslet dressed as Mare, and the tweet was like, "This year's Met Gala theme is going to be Mare," and I was like, "Oh, I'd watch that like crazy." Anyways, we are not talking about Mare of Easttown. That's a different review, which I cannot wait to record that. I love Mare. Anyways, we are talking about Port Authority, which is a new indie written and directed by a filmmaker named Danielle Lisovitz. This is her first film. This is a really, really strong first film debut. This director has basically done a bunch of shorts before. This first premiered at Cannes in 2019 and made the festival rounds the rest of the year, and this has gotten like a lot of citations and a lot of praise, and is now finally seen the light of day in general release. And it stars Finn Whitehead, whom you know from Dunkirk and Bandersnatch and the underrated Children Act, which he played a dying kid with cancer opposite Emma Thompson, and it was really good. And Lenya Bloom. Anyway, Finn Whitehead plays Paul, who is a 20-year-old kind of homeless, coming from Pittsburgh, and arrives in New York at the Port Authority bus terminal. He's under the impression he's going to live with this half-sister, but it turns out she's not there, and she doesn't really welcome him with open arms when they do encounter each other. Anyways, so he's basically by himself. He encounters a, I guess, a friend.
An asshole.
I guess you call him a friend.
I have lots to say about Lee.
The closest thing you can call to the closest thing he's got to a friend when he arrives,
he encounters a bro. It's a bro.
He encounters a bro in all caps, named Lee, played by McCall Lombardi and his incredible arms, on the subway. Damn. And he basically takes him in, and he ends up living at this like sort of like homeless shelter for juvenile delinquents, I guess. I don't know. I hate that term because it feels so dated, but that's kind of what it is.
Basically the Foot Clan hideout.
Yeah, there you go. And he basically takes a job with Lee, helping to
steal shit,
extract rent from people, tenants who have who mostly most of them are illegal, are definitely living in apartments illegally, and cannot pay their rent, and so they go and just take whatever they can to make money off. Anyway, one day he encounters Y McQueen, played by Lenya Bloom, who is this sort of street dancer and really good street dancer, and he's taken with her, and the two develop a bond that blossoms into something more serious, into a genuine connection and a romantic connection. And not long after that, he discovers that she is actually a trans woman. And he doesn't know how to feel about this. And the rest of the film sees Paul straddling, going back and forth between these two worlds and trying to figure out which one he belongs in and who he really is in the process. Martin Scorsese attached his name to this. And as soon as I saw that, I just was like, my ears perked up. And I can see why. This is such a beautiful, realistic film from all aspects for my money. But I'm going to shut up now because I want to hear what you guys thought about it. Alan?
Yeah, I thought I was intrigued by the Scorsese producer credit add-on. He's always been like a champion. Young filmmakers, interesting new things. He's in there. So that was definitely intriguing. And I did... I right away I kind of saw like its energy around like New York and like this different side of New York kind of thing. It's like Scorsese's old, you know, his love for New York. You kind of see it in there, but why he might be attracted to it. And it's a part of New York that obviously he doesn't know much about or has much experience in. I was kind of torn back and forth on this movie, kind of running that line of just. It started to feel kind of like a typical indie drama at times where it was kind of meandering. And there were other times, other moments, other scenes that were just like really unique, something you don't see often. And I was like struggling because I wanted more of that. And it would kind of dip into like kind of regular territory, it felt to me. I don't know if I'm alone in that on it. I mean, it's not to negate some of the beautiful scenes, and the performances were incredible throughout.
Well, there's very little, like, plot turns. There's very little way of surprises. And I think that once you... I think once you reconcile that, I think, you know, you can just... It makes it easier to focus on the stuff that does work, which is just the nature of it. What do you think, Santi?
I kind of felt a little bit the same way. I like, loved and thought this film... was also just okay in some parts because it was entirely uneventful, but it was also an exercise in subtlety in a lot of ways. It was beautiful. A lot of scenes I wanted to like pause and just stare at them because the background was just so incredibly like immersive. And that's the vibe that I got from this film. Like I got a lot of vibes just overall, like everything was super immersive. I felt like I was in a world that was detailed by just like the huge like the soundtrack was subtle, but like the noise of the around the characters was extremely loud, and
that New York noise.
Yeah absolutely. And that was really great. I've always loved that about movies. And this movie is a great New York movie by all intents and purposes. Like, it's definitely a great, it nailed it. And, you know, there can be a lot of movies that people can say, like, you know, fails to accurately portray New York. But I do think that, you know, even though I never lived there or anything, that this feels pretty accurate. That being said, and going back to my thought about the exercise in subtlety, there are a lot of nuances in the relationships between the characters, but even those things don't ever really come to a head. It's kind of just like, it's like the French pause, like, oh, that sucks. And then you just, you know, don't respond.
Well, Jordan, I know that you messaged me. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. You messaged me as soon as you saw the film because you had thoughts.
Yeah.
You had thoughts. You had thoughts, and I'm sure you still have thoughts, so I want to hear your thoughts.
Yes, as I am the token transgender individual here. Hello. I proudly have that flag behind me because I feel no shame in being a transgender woman. And as soon as I heard this, I couldn't help but think of one of my least favorite films ever, The Crying Game. Fuck that movie.
Which I've never seen.
Fuck
I'm
that
the one
movie
guy that's not seen it.
So hard. In a relation, also Ace Ventura. But Martin Scorsese is my number one favorite filmmaker of all time. And having only recently been acquainted with the sort of ballroom scene of New York and queer and drag performances and such, you know, I still need to watch Pose. But, you know, Paris is burning.
Yeah, you do.
Which I was only recently exposed to last year, is phenomenal. So I was very curious, very interested to see how this would turn out. I do want to say, I absolutely love this movie. It does get my stamp of approval because it was also a very hard movie for me to watch because it has some of my own anxieties that I have right now as being a trans person, mainly in dating, because I have been single for a good long while. I was single when I came out and realized that myself, and anyone I'm flirting with, you know, even one that even looks at me on a dating, I was like, look, I already have it in my profile. I was like, look, I'm trans, so this is what you know. So, it just deals with some of those anxieties, all right? Because, you know, why didn't you tell me? Oh, you didn't ask. And, you know, there is that typical sort of scene here in this movie. But it's very well done because the performances are honestly real. It feels organic and in a lot of ways, this does feel like an authentic, modern, contemporary queer love story, where, you know, one side of it is questioning, you know, the heteronormativity of it all. And I honestly really do love it. I mean, the movie looks amazing, but the camera work is what I think is the most intriguing thing to me because it really does put you into these situations, and it's just a lovely scene. And also, Lee kind of just like, yeah, I fucking hate the character. I hoped he'd get shivved at some point. But that character also represented, like, some of my own internalized homophobia and transphobia that I felt at a young, stupid, undeveloped age. Because I was raised in the Bible Belt. I was raised in a very sort of contemporary, you know the situation. So there was some self-hatred in there that I had to deal with.
That's what I think that one of the things that this film does really well is that it does build the world, the two worlds incredibly well, the two like sort of microcosms that exist in this New York. And I think that it populates both of them with characters that just, I mean, are so real and so true.
I was gonna say, we're kind of getting at one of my issues with this, because I think the two worlds are built out so well, and we're dealing with all the characters in them for well, but I feel like I forgot the character's name, the lead who we start with.
Paul.
Paul, there you go. Yeah. I never felt his tension between the worlds a lot of times felt false to me. I felt like he was just very alive in the world of, like, the ballroom scene. I never felt like a tension there where he actually felt like he belonged or was part of the world of the bro that he met, of Lee.
No, that's because I don't think he doesn't really belong there. He's just sort of like pretending, you know, to belong there, pretending to himself in a way.
Yeah. But he seemed way too guarded at times with her, like his new love, like unnecessary lies to build dramatic tension.
And oh, I feel like, but
some,
you know,
some of that tension was never earned. It wasn't earned enough. Like, that's not to say I still like this movie quite a bit. It was just like I wanted a little. I think it could have been like incredible, and it was just good for me.
When you've got a secret like that big, those little like lies. Those little unnecessary lies, they're par for the course. They become second nature, and that it becomes like, yep, you know, it's another language. You automatically speak, and then like, oh, and this, oh, and they're not home. Oh, and she works over there. And, you know, so I kind of got his anxiety every time he re-entered the world of the bros, because it is that sort of camouflaging. And when you're not, you know, and he's not really – he's never had to camouflage before until he met so I can sort of see him feeling like he still needs to, because he's not fully ready to enter into the other world.
Yeah,
I think it's also valid to point out that he's supposed to be uncomfortable, and I suppose him finding out you know, the big secret or whatever, and then him realizing that, you know, he's overpowered by love, and that means more to him than his like whole preference. I think is indicative and looks real of real life, because I mean it was somebody who was like outside of their comfort zone, but just like fell in love.
I do want to be clear about, like, I'm more talking about his lying to her about his situation. Like, early on, the early lie makes sense. And then, like, once they start establishing something, like, I feel like it's hard because, you know, the character does this for a reason. But I didn't feel the movie wasn't showing it to me. It was just telling me that he's lying to her about his homeless situation, and, like, to create this tension where he would take her into the house and he would meet up with, she would meet, come and meet up with his bro friend who would be a dick.
Uh-huh.
Where early on, like, the movie never really showed me a strong enough reason for him to be.
Well, there's also
that secret so hard.
Well, there's also shame. There's also shame.
Yes.
What I do absolutely love is that he honestly just comes to accept, like, this is a woman that I do love. And again, just because why I fucking hate the crying games, that reaction is like, oh no. Seriously, fuck the crying game. I'm gonna hate that movie until I die. But it just felt so fucking refreshing to actually see a genuine, not over the top way, you know, of that coming, you know, of that sort of thing coming out. And I also want to give credit to this movie for honestly one of the more positive portrayals of a lovemaking scene between a cis person and a trans person. I was very concerned about that, but I thought it was tastefully well done. but it really was like a great emotional anchor for this movie. I was fearful, but then I read up on the background of the director, who herself is a queer person, and the research they did. So, and like I said, if Marty put his name on it, yeah, I was gonna immediately check it out.
Scott, that's still an approval. Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and wrap into our. Oh, sorry. Go ahead and wrap into your final thoughts.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say. Yeah, I love this movie, and I think in some of the good and bad ways, it does speak to the experience of being a transgender person. Again, but you know, those wonderful highs and lows, and it just. Yeah, this movie kind of fucked with me. So, and I'm glad I was on the review for this, but I'm going to put some time between here and then watching it again, because I do want to watch it again. I have a feeling this will probably stay in my top 10 for this year. We'll see. I mean, there's a new Fast and Furious movie, and I love my stupid. But
oh my god!
Yeah, great.
I would love that.
Amazing.
Tied for number one, Port Authority and Fast 7.
I was like, if Jordan, if that is not a joke, then I am scared and fucking fascinated as hell to see your end of the year list.
Oh, get ready. Oh, but yeah, great camera work, amazing performances, and a story that can speak to any sort of soul, honestly. I will give this 10 out of 10. I was trying to think of something. I'll just give it a fucking 10 out of 10 feather boas, which I desperately could use.
To go with the flags. Santi. Yeah.
This movie was a vibe. It was it's definitely I can definitely see myself watching it and putting it on and just kind of enjoying it. It's very beautiful, and it kind of looks like one long, very cool, like, music video in some part, in some way. You know, like, there are some scenes where it's in completely, like, negative color, which is just, like, total, which was a little off-putting at first. I was like, holy crap, is that really real? Like, I guess they're in, like, a black light room, and it just looks like you're looking at the negative of the actual film. So, you know, I definitely agree with Jordan where, you know, where this film has parts of it that are truly extraordinary, and I liked it a lot. That being said, maybe like now that I'm talking about it, which happens all the time, I end up liking it more now that we've talked about it, because I've realized
that, yeah. That happens to me too. That happens almost all the time. My feelings like morph into something else, good and or bad. When I'm on Chris's couch,
film is a communal thing.
It happens especially on Chris's couch.
Yeah.
Right on.
It's the cats, man.
I think I realize that my expectations just change because I see what everybody else's are, and then, you know, maybe that's, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to shut up about it. I am going to say that I will give this film 8 out of 10 carries, which is like a slang that I heard used in this film, which I think means like a carry is like a I don't know.
A carry? Is that like a Karen type? Is that sort of like
no? If they were referring to the Sex and the City character, I would take that as an immediate offense.
No, I think a carry is like that was a trip. Like, oh my god, like that was an experience. Like it was a thing.
I would not take offense to.
I'm gonna be 40 next year. Slang means nothing to me anymore.
What are you talking about? I'm hip.
That's
with
ridiculous.
The cool kids.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I never was. So, anyways, Alan,
look at you. You're so cool.
Yeah. So, I kind of came into this expecting a subtle movie, like subtle, slow character study, And I think that's what I got. And I think it, for most of this movie, it's this one of this movie's best strengths is not over making things too dramatic, overplaying, no big plot twists. It's just watching these characters meet, engage. I think at times it's to the movie's detriment. At times. It never is fully... It never falters because of it, but there were times where I was wanting a little more. I wanted more dance scenes, I'll tell you that, more of the ballroom.
Watch Pose. Watch Pose.
Maybe I should, yeah.
Everybody on this call, everybody on this call, watch Pose.
I'm waiting till the final season ends. Jesus.
Well, because, like,
for fucking Netflix.
And it might just be because it is as subtle as it is, but those scenes, like, really come to life. You see the main character, like... He lights up when he's seeing it. He's just so just like attracted to and curious about that world, as is our, I'm sure a lot of people are. And like I've been to a couple back before the pandemic, a couple showings in Austin or parties that I was having, and it is like such a party and it is so much fun. And when that movie, when those scenes happen in the movie, it's like it really comes to life, even in just the rehearsals. So I could use more of those. So I'm going to give it a 7. Out of 10 more ballroom scenes they should have had in this movie. I guess it just turns into a ballroom dancing movie at that point. But
yeah, it does.
But I did like this movie quite a bit.
Okay. No, that's cool. I likewise enjoyed this. I think this is a really, really strong debut. For Scorsese to put his name on your debut, your feature debut, that's a lot of faith, and I can see why he had that kind of faith. This is a very, very great New York movie. I know what you guys mean in the sense that in terms of the subtlety, it is not plot-driven. It doesn't have, Jordan and I reviewed a movie recently, North Hollywood, which had the same sort of... thing going on, and it wasn't, and I mentioned there too, it doesn't have what Tarantino calls the plot rock, you know, the giving like its characters that this burden of like,
yeah,
having
it doesn't
to
have the infinity stones
continuously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I like that because I love films that are, I know people call them aimless sometimes, I call them slice of life.
No, they absolutely,
I think that this movie is definitely a slice of today's life. I think this is a very, very honest and genuine, earnest film about a relationship like this and portraying it in a way that, that shows, you know, the sort of insecurities that come with it, the sort of, you know, the magic that can come with it. And it does so in a very credible, tender way. And it's got some great lines in it, too. I think what's that one line that Paul is told? You know, you can love someone with all your being, but it doesn't mean though that they will ever be, you know, totally yours.
Yeah, that especially got to me.
Isn't that a great line? Yeah.
It's fucking beautiful.
And it checks out. but yeah.
He was like, you were like, let me fact check you there.
Yeah.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah, that's can be true several times. Anyways, this is great all the way around. There's not a false moment really to be found in it. I think this is gonna make my long list. We vote for best first film, and this is definitely a contender for that because this is very captivating in all the right ways. Everyone here is great. Finn Whitehead, he's so hot. He's so cute. He's adorable. He's the right kind of scruffy, and he's got amazing arms as well.
Much
so,
better than Voyagers.
gosh. But I liked him in Bandersnatch as well a lot. He played that hot mess, like, perfectly, that guy. Anyways, enough about Finn Whitehead. He was great. Lena Bloom was really great in this as well. This is a great film. There's no other way to say it, and it's a very important film, and I hope that the audience that needs to see it does indeed see it. So I got to give this 9 out of 10 huge-ass slices of pizza because fucking hell was I drooling when they were chomping down on those slices.
And what you could wash that down with? Some Powerade. Now that we're done with the review, now I can...
I do have Powerade.
Now I can explicitly give you all the best instructions on how to talk. First step...